Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family. Finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. Now, here's the host of the top-rated show for moms, Maria Bailey, on Mom Talk Radio.
I want to start the show off by saying that our thoughts and prayers are going out to all the moms, families, and those who have been touched by Harvey in the Houston and, I guess, Louisiana area as well. It's such a tragedy, but I know that our community will pull together. So I just wanted to say that top of the hour. But thanks for joining us now. And being with us today, we're in the back to school mode where I think all of us are trying to get acclimated to the new normal. I know that my last child leaves on September 14th, and I keep saying, okay, just get me to the new normal. I just want to know what I have in front of me. And isn't it like you get your kids out of the house, and even if it's just like getting them out and into their new routine, it somehow is so disruptive to the rest of the household. Like, I don't know. It just seems to disrupt everything. So I'm really looking forward to that new normal, kind of getting things in order. And I hope that you have gotten a head start on me. That's for sure. As we enter soon, we'll be talking about the holiday season. So, yeah, somebody the other day said they already bought like half their gifts. I'm like, okay, that's just wrong at this point. I can understand having your Christmas card already, maybe you're ordered or your Christmas card picture taken, but it's just wrong to have already bought gifts. Although I will say this, the other day, my daughter has joined the Peace Corps and she is moving to Africa, to Cameroon for 3 years. And I actually was grateful that a store had Christmas wrap because I went ahead and bought her a couple of very small things and wrapped them in Christmas wrap because we won't be spending Christmas together this year. And I tucked them into her backpack so that she'll find them when she gets to Africa. But and now that I'm saying that, wow, this is like the first time that I won't have all my children with me on Christmas Day. Thank God for Skype, right? At least I'll get to hopefully see her if she's not somewhere in the jungle with no Wi-Fi. Anyhow, let's not think about that because I don't want to be crying on the radio this morning. Instead, let's think happy thoughts like those people that bring you Mom Talk Radio every week. Pre-mama vitamins, so you don't have to swallow those big old horse pills when you are pregnant. You can find Pre-mama, the nutrient supplement for moms. They now have fertility and lactation products in their product line. You can find them at CVS, Target, Amazon, and other specialty stores. Really good stuff, and you want to check it out, you can go to drinkpremama.com. We have a big show lined up for you today, and when we return, we have Randy Zinn, the author of Going Beyond Mom, How to Achieve Your Mind, Body, and Business After Baby.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
Okay, so how do you activate your mind, body, and business after baby? Well, author Randy Zinn is here to talk about that. The book is Going Beyond Mom, How to Activate Your Mind, Body, and Business After Baby. She is the founder of Beyond Mom and BeyondMom.com. She has a lot of experience, not only in the world of being a mom, but also as a businesswoman, a creator, a thinker, a friend, and so much more. And I'm delighted to have Randy with us today on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Randy.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be with you.
Well, thank you. So, you know, there's a lot going on there in, you know, the mind and the body and the business and being a thinker and a businesswoman. How do you, I hate using the word balance because that's not, but how do you integrate all of that into a busy schedule?
Well, it's the question, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So I wrote this book, Going Beyond Mom, because I actually saw a relationship between the women who were doing something that they were really and truly passionate about and the way that they took care of the foundation of their lives, the things that are in the title of this book, their mind, their body, and their community. And a community is inside of your home. It's your partner, the people that help support you on a daily basis, and it's your friends and your colleagues, etc. So I saw this relationship between the women that were actually developing a solid life foundation and then how they were able to really not only flourish but enjoy the process of being a mom and being productive. So my sense is that if we can build that foundation in a way that's conscious and daily, we can just embrace this process and enjoy it so much more. My goal is to create a movement of women who understand the power of doing it this way and to really shift the language in our culture around being a productive mom.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Being a productive mom, because I think sometimes we just go through the motions, you know, just trying to get those things done that we have to do. And I don't know that it's always productive. So where do you start?
Good question. So where do you start? I've really shaped a step-by-step process in this book, and it's ways to slow down the process but make each step really potent. So I do start with the body because I think that as moms, our bodies go through so much, and as we know, we tend to put ourselves last. Mm-hmm. So where do we start? We get our feet on the ground and we get our blood moving, and I have experienced just through my own process of motherhood and again through so many conversations with so many women, that the productive women, the women that you'd think are the busiest, are making time to move their body. It's huge and it's real, and it does manifest results. And I'm not talking about being, a skinny meringue. I'm talking about feeling energy in your body and feeling strong. So I start with the body. And then I talk about the mind, and this is the ancient practices of mindfulness, which actually are not that complicated, and they have to do with using tools like breathing and talking yourself out of reactions too quickly, taking that 2-second pause to really observe a moment, not only so that the reactions match your intentions, but so that you're actually enjoying the moment. I keep coming back to that. I feel like so many moms are missing the beauty of the experience because we are under a massive amount of pressure to live a quote perfect life and to be everything and to have perfect kids. It's just not possible. So I think being present and mindful and breathing and aware is how to actually be a conscious person in the midst of motherhood. And then I take you through a whole bunch of other steps that guide you through community building and then ultimately idea building, because once the foundation is solid, we can actually step into shaping an idea, which is where the productive mom part really comes in, and going beyond mom really starts to happen.
Right, right. And you know what I think is when you get to that spot, it's so important because your children are watching, and you know, they don't learn from what you say, they learn by what they see. And you know, I always find it interesting when you hear a mom who isn't in that spot and maybe isn't productive in their life, and they'll be complaining that their children aren't doing well in school, or they're just not into school, or they're lazy, or they're and you almost like stop and think, okay, well, the apple isn't falling far from a tree. Like, what have you demonstrated to your child that would make them interested in school? Because school is like kind of their work, right? So if they're not being productive there, then they are likely that they saw that somewhere else, you know, not to blame it on mom, because it could be dad as well.
Sure. Well, actually, I was just going to say that, you know, of course, we don't want to pile even more guilt on mom. But I very much feel what you're saying, and I'll expand on it. You know, in the book, Going Beyond Mom, I really, really urge each woman to meditate, for lack of a better word, or just start to be present with herself and really hone in on what brings her joy. And I think it's the process of doing what brings you joy without guilt that is truly the best example for our kids. So a lot of moms, I think, feel guilty for doing something they want to do, whether it's going to take a workout class or going away with their girlfriends for a weekend or launching a business idea. But if we're living from a place that's really anchored in our joy, in what brings us happiness, you are absolutely right. Our kids are watching. A little story that just rings so true to this. I'm obviously in the middle of my book launch, hence the reason that I'm out there and talking about this book. So I'm working a lot. And I was out walking with my son, and I was on my phone a little bit more than I'd like to be. And I just said it. I said, "But I'm really sorry. Like, I'm on my phone a lot, and I really want to be with you, but I have a lot going on." And he shocked me by turning around and saying, "Mommy, I'm so proud of you for all of your hard work."
Oh, wow.
He's 5 years old.
Right.
So they
wow.
do watch you. And, you know, if you're just speaking your truth and you're living your joy, they are watching it. And there's no better example.
Right, right. You're absolutely right. So we only have 1 minute left. I just want to ask you, where can moms go to find your book?
Yeah, so the book is available on Amazon.com. It ships September 19th. That's our launch date. All the information on the book is also live, as well as a book trailer, a video trailer that we created, which will give you even more about the book. And that's live on my website. And the website is beyondmom.com. And it's just information all over about it. But Amazon is definitely your best place to get it.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. Good luck with the book launch, and we'll have to have you back with your second book, because I have a feeling there's another one in you. When we return, we're going to turn the spotlight on one mom who is the baby expert.
Mom Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I am delighted to put today's spotlight on one mom who is doing pretty amazing things in the baby area. Sarah Ockwell Smith is our guest. She is a mother of four and the author of Gentle Discipline. You can find her on Twitter at The Baby Expert. So welcome, Sarah, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you very much for having me on.
So, well, we're happy to have you here. I'd love to hear... You think of discipline, you don't often think of it as being gentle, but explain and define for me what gentle discipline is.
Yeah, that was the whole reason that I wrote a book, to be honest, because people think discipline means punishment or shaming or just making kids feel bad about what they've done in order to motivate them to do better. But actually, if you look into all the science behind discipline, the methods that are really effective and particularly have a long-lasting result are all the methods that make kids feel better. You know, really simply, most poor behavior that kids do is because they're not feeling good. So they've either got these emotions they can't cope with, or they're feeling like a lack of self-esteem, or they're feeling a disconnect with their parents. So really simply, gentle discipline helps to fix those issues and work with the kid to resolve them, to teach them to be better. And really, that's what discipline's about. It's about teaching. And we all learn best when we're well connected with our teacher, when we get on with the teacher, and when we feel good about ourselves.
So give me an example of how in the real world you might use what this might look like. You know, let's just say, I don't know, we've just caught our child lying to us. Like, how would you implement that kind of discipline? Rather than yelling at them, you know, don't ever lie to me again.
Yeah, sure. So what I talk about, it's the most important thing to do is just ask why, how, what. Why is the child doing this? How are they feeling? And what do you hope to teach them from the discipline? A child that lies, there's numerous reasons, but quite often they lie because they feel bad about what they've done and they don't want to upset us by telling us the truth. Sometimes they lie because we actually lie quite a lot as parents and they copy us. You know, if you bump into somebody in the street and they've had a really bad haircut, you might say, oh, it looks lovely. When your kid knows you're lying, particularly if you're not obsessed about it. So the why are they doing it is really important. You know, there's no point disciplining if you can't work out the why behind it.
Uh-huh.
How means how are they feeling? Normally when a kid's lying, they're not feeling good. And what do you hope to achieve? Well, what I'd hope to achieve in that scenario is to teach a child that actually lying is not good. As your mum, I'd much prefer it if you told me the truth. When you go out into the big world as an adult, telling the truth is really important. So I wouldn't be punishing them for lying. I'd have a conversation with them and say, you know, I think you did do this. Why are you lying? You know, actually, lying to me is worse than what you ever did. I won't be angry. I might be disappointed, but we can talk through what you've done. But we have to start with being honest with each other. And you know, the really important thing is to try and hold your breath and not yell and not use your temper, because that's what they copy.
That's right. That's right. And boy, that is so hard. Just the other day, I actually went into her room and I said, okay, I just have to tell you how I feel right now so that with your sister, so that you can maybe help me come up with a better way to approach this. And she did. She gave me some really good advice. And by the end, I was kind of laughing and, you know, I went back and with a whole different attitude than I would have when I approached it. Do you have a blog or something? Because you have such great information. Like, where can moms go to find, like, do you have a blog where you talk about all of this as well?
Yes, yeah, so my blog is just my name, just sarahockwell-smith.com. I also run a website called gentleparentinginternational.com, which has lots of parenting advice right from sort of pregnancy and birth all the way through to teenagers. It's important to understand it's not just babies and toddlers. You know, this sort of information really helps whatever age your kid is. Actually, it also helps in adult relationships sometimes as well.
Yeah, it sounds like it for sure. Well, thank you so much, Sarah, for being with us today. And I'm going to use some gentle discipline. I have a feeling I have a trying weekend ahead of me. So I will definitely be trying to implement all of the why, how, and what. And I'm sure you're wondering the what of what's up next. Well, when we return, I am going to be excited to welcome with us Christopher Taylor. They have spent 14 years working with some of the most challenging teens and families. Teens that you ask a lot of why, how, and what to, I'm sure, in parenting teens. So when we return, Christopher Taylor here talking about the book Back to Basics.
Radio, a busy mom's best friend. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
I'm delighted to have with us Christopher Taylor. He has spent 14 years working with some of the most challenging teens and their families. He is the author and creator of Back to Basics, Tailoring Your Teen for Success book, workbook, and online course. And he currently owns and operates his private practice in California, where he provides therapy services and parenting strategies to families. He's appeared in a lot of different publications, and today he's on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Christopher.
Thanks, Maria. Really excited to be on today.
So we're happy to have you. So Christopher, like, you hear a lot when you have, I don't know, a two-year-old and a three-year-old. Oh my God, wait till you get to the teen years. What makes teens so difficult to parent, besides the obvious that they just think they're adults?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, and I think you sort of nailed it, is they think they're adults, and they're really rapidly moving towards, you know, that adult stage, which means, you know, it's not about right or wrong, it's about independent decision-making, and wanting the space to make those decisions, and not having the outcome sort of defined before they have that opportunity.
With the first three of my children, I loved the teenage years. I loved them. I mean, I thought it was the best part of parenting. And then number four came along. And I got to tell you, it's just, if I hear one more time that I'm an adult and I'm about, you know, I can make decisions. It's my body. This is the latest one. It's my body and I can do to it what I want. I'm like, oh, Lord, please help me. Right. So let's take that scenario there and approach it with a back to basics kind of mentality. What is a mom to do?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think what oftentimes parents do is they sort of default to that fear-based approach. And so they go to this yes or no. And it really draws that line in the sand, which we know teens are going to naturally rebel against almost 100% right. of the time. Right. So what I try to encourage parents to do is I created a buzz phrase to remain curious and really explore the rationale behind why the kids want to do that. Now, ultimately, I think parents have that fear of, well, if I start engaging in that conversation, am I sort of defaulting to giving permission? And I always say no, because ultimately parents hold that veto power. They can override any decision and give that yes or no. But better to do it on the back end than the front end so that teens start to feel valued, you know, appreciated, respected. And like you said, with some things, ultimately you're going to arrive at a no regardless, and that can create some frustration. But I think that'll lead kids in the future into more constructive dialogue as they, you know, sort of experience their desires and want to achieve things or experience, you know, various things in life.
So how do you not draw the line in the sand on things that you know could hurt them, or, you know, your child wants a tattoo at 15 or 16, or they want to vape? There's just sure. certain things that are an absolute no in your household. How do you lay that down?
Yeah, you know, like I said, I mean, you can ultimately arrive at that no response, but I always think it's better to say, so, you know, what is it about a tattoo? You know, why do you want this particular tattoo? What's going on for you? Are other kids getting tattoos? What does it signify for you? With vaping, I mean, that's a common thing, that and all the legalization movement across the country. So right. it's sort of giving kids permission that this is okay and that their parents are on sort of almost the wrong side of the law now.
Right,
but
right.
again, you know, what are the pressures you're facing? Like, what approval do you get, or what, you know, sense of satisfaction do you get if you're able to do this? Because I think it's not necessarily about trying to avoid setting the limit. It's trying to get the kids to partner with to, again, explore what their rationale is so that they see it as a friendly environment to explore not just their ideas of vaping or getting a tattoo, but, you know, issues with teen sex or issues right. with how do you manage bullying at school? How do you tell your parents when you're experiencing depression or anxiety? So I think it just sort of paves the way to get more of that conversation going. But like you said, ultimately, sometimes you do have to lay that line down, and kids are going to get upset about it. And as part of the Back to Basics program, we really weave in, you know, how do you address those behaviors so you don't see those real intense escalations
right.
and kind of bring kids back into dialogue much quicker.
So my newest strategy is that I give choices and I allow them to make the choice, but it's choices that I can live with. So, and it's also choices that I know one of them would never be selected. So let's just say, for instance, going to church is always kind of a struggle because they like to sleep in, right, on yeah. Sunday mornings. And so fortunately, I'm Catholic and we have night masses on Saturday night. So I will often say, okay, which mass would you like to go to, 5:30 on Saturday or 9 o'clock on Sunday? I know she's not picking the 9 o'clock on Sunday because she wants to sleep in, but I have noticed it just giving her the choice. She thinks she's making the decision and it feels, I think, a little bit more empowering to her. Like she has a say in the process and I'm not just forcing her to go to church. It seems to be working. And, but any thoughts on that kind of strategy?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're spot on with that. One of the things that I, again, that drawing the line in the sand, it's sort of creating the illusion of choice. You know, we talk in sort of the therapy world of what drives human behavior, and we look at sort of these three core needs, the need to connect, the need to avoid, and the need to access an activity or a material item. So if you give kids the opportunity to have choice and control in how they meet those needs, I think the outcome is going to be much more favorable. One of the things we do in my program, too, is we really try to move parents away from the idea of consequencing kids and incentivizing those sort of task completions. I say, you know, what we want to do is take what kids feel are entitlements and move them into privileges that are only accessed when these things are or these tasks are completed or the, you know, the requirements are met. And, you know, what that really creates then is that opportunity for kids to make choices and take responsibility. And within that, you know, you can create, okay, by 3 o'clock, these things are going to get done. So if they're waking up at 11 a.m., they have that entire window to make that choice of when they want to do it. It takes a little bit of time to sort of condition them to that plan. But as I walk parents through this program, I say that's probably the biggest thing that parents take away, the biggest fear they have initially, and then the biggest success that they take away ultimately is like, wow, that really did work. It really was that simple. And it goes right back to your point. You're giving kids choice within that.
You just are filled with a wealth of information. So where do our followers, our listeners go to follow you and to learn more from you?
Yeah. So my website, ChrisTaylorMFT.com. There's a blog section where I post a weekly article. All of the Back to Basics program material is there for sale. I also have about 40 instructional videos for a lot of different mental health, relationship, and sort of personal development stuff that they can, you know, just watch and get some really helpful tips.
Right.
I also have an app on the iOS App Store, Top 5 Tips for Life by Chris Taylor. And then I also have my Facebook page, which I have. We just passed 11,000 followers for that. And really just a resource page where you can just get a lot of great information. Obviously some inspirational stuff, but just, hey, I'm facing this issue. What do I do? Then next week we're going to be launching our podcast, which is going to be a 15-minute podcast where parents can submit a letter to me, and I'll just answer that, whatever question they may have. And do that on a weekly basis as well.
Okay. Well, thanks so much. There's a lot of ways to get in touch with Chris, and we're going to have a link to all of that on Mom Talk Radio. So thanks so much for being with us today. And when we return, we're going to be speaking with Coach Sarah Wells. She's going to inspire you as she talks about her experience in the NCAA.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
Exercise and fitness, it's one of those things that I love. I do it every single day, and I'm excited to have with us Sarah Wells. I'm excited to have her here because not only does she have a ton of experience in strength and conditioning as a coach in the NCAA D1 level, but she founded SAPT, S-A-P-T, in 2007 with the vision of providing the highest quality individualized personal training available. Love the fact that she does a lot of sports and can get you into shape. So welcome, Coach Wells, to Mom Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about exercise in pregnancy. Let's just start at the very beginning and tell us what we should be doing and where we go from here to there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's made pretty clear to any of us that have gotten pregnant, you know, from kind of the first doctor visits on, that exercise is really an important part of the whole process for your health and for the baby's health. But I know with my first pregnancy, I was just really confused by the information that I was receiving. And I was somebody who was pretty darn active, you know, and they were basically telling me to really pull back on my exercise. And, you know, so I heeded their advice, But with my second child, I sort of took a different approach and listened to my body. And, you know, I had done some research along the way. And really the thing that I'm kind of striving to let women know about is that, you know, if you're having a healthy pregnancy and you're, you know, you're keeping up with your exercise program, there's not necessarily that need to really dial things way, way, way down. On the other hand, if you're new to exercise and you want to keep yourself healthy and the baby healthy, you know, then that's another approach in and of itself, and you do want to take it slow.
So it's not the time to start something new, but if you're already there, you can definitely continue. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, you can certainly start something new, for sure. And that's where the doctor's advice of being very sensible and really taking your time, that's where it's extremely appropriate. But for, you know, for women who have been active, you know, there's no need to really slow down thinking that you're going to be doing some damage, because that's not necessarily the case at all for women who are having healthy pregnancies.
Okay, so now we've gotten through the pregnancy, and most women are, the first thing they want to do is get back to exercising to lose weight. What's your mm-hmm. thoughts and recommendations there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, through the pregnancy and also after pregnancy, aerobic exercise is 100% key. And there's huge reasons for that. Cardiovascular health, when you're pregnant, it's for yourself. It's also for the fetus. There's huge benefits there. But after you deliver, yes, we want to be doing some very low level aerobic exercise. So this can be in the form of just walking initially, and you can stick mm-hmm. with walking throughout. So that's really easy and very, very important. But the other thing is you will want to be doing some strength training. Your body has gone through huge amounts of changes. There's all kinds of different hormones that are flushing through your body while you're pregnant. And we kind of just want to re-strengthen, re-tighten things up because all of our joints get very loose, and make sure that, you know, anything that crept up during the pregnancy, back pain, knee pain, anything like that, that you start to get that addressed. You know, the aerobic exercise combined with the strength training will really do wonders to help you lose that weight.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that it's a priority. So where can moms go to find out more about you? We just have a minute and I want to make sure we get this in.
Sure. Yeah, thank you. You can go to my website. It's saptstrengths.com. Then you can also find me online, Twitter and Instagram, and my handle is @strengthboss.
Well, and you have to go to her Facebook page for nothing other than to see her lift so much weight. Like, I mean, your pictures of you lifting weights are just phenomenal and so inspiring. So thanks so much for being with us today on Mom Talk Radio. We have a link on our website, and I appreciate you being here with us. I got to tell you guys, a little exercise every day makes you feel so, so good. I mean, today I got up out of bed. I go to spin class every day, almost every single day at 5:30. And if I'm not spinning, I'm running or I'm lifting. And I got to tell you, you generate energy by producing energy and expending energy. So when we return, I got a really great guest for you, but I'm keeping her a surprise.
Talk Radio, a busy mom's best friend.
I am delighted to have with us today Stacy Beaulieu Fawcett. She is an attorney who focuses on marital and family law and serves clients in South Florida, but she's got a wealth of information, and we're excited to have her here on Mom Talk Radio. So Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
So let's talk a little bit about the number one thing in a divorce, with couples facing a divorce, and that is protecting the children. What are some of your thoughts around that? You've seen it a lot. So what are the best cases and the best approaches?
You know, divorce obviously can become very contentious, and many people will approach us wanting to use the children as pawns, whether knowingly wanting to or innocently wanting to, you know, use them as negotiating tools. And it's really our job as attorneys to refocus the clients that we have and the people that we're involved with in our practice, refocus them on what's important. You know, what is in the children's best interest? Is it in their best interest really to do this kind of a schedule? Or are you just trying to push for the schedule so you can get more of what you want on the financial side? So keeping the children in focus and in mind as to what is in their best interest, not in the parents' best interest, is one of the ways we really do that. Refocusing everyone back on the children's needs, back on, okay, yes, it's a longer drive for you, but it's less time for the child to have to be in the car. So is this really focusing on the child, or are we focusing on your needs? And that's something as practitioners that we can focus on easily. Some of the other things, you know, that is in the best interest of the children in any divorce case is for the parties to come to an agreement. Because once you have taken a case all the way through to trial, these two people have thrown every bit of mud and dirt they can at each other. And that relationship is never, ever, ever going to be the same. But yet they are still mom and dad to these children. So those graduations and those, you know, births and those weddings are never going to be the same. That family is never going to be the same, which is expected with divorce, but it doesn't have to be to that level. So again, reminding the families that we deal with that you're not divorcing the children, but you are divorcing the parent, and we've got to keep that in mind, that these children will still be your children till the day you die.
So, it, you know, the things that you're talking about in advocating for the children isn't something you think about when you go to hire an attorney, especially in a divorce. You know, like you might ask a girlfriend, you know, who got you the most, or those kind of things. How do you become that advocate? And you know, I mean, it doesn't mean that if you're an advocate for the child that you're giving up somebody who's actually fighting for you.
No,
right?
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, I think most of us are more passionate about fighting for our clients' children than we are about fighting for that 401k fund, you know. It's right. A lot easier to become very passionate to fight what's for, you know, children than it is to make sure someone has a little bit more money in their pocket. Now, as attorneys, you know, we have a scale of justice, if you will, that's been programmed into our heads. So we fight for justice. We fight for what the law provides, because that's why we're attorneys. We want to make sure that there's justice and there's fairness. So that fight is always there. But you have to temper that, again, with, is it in this family's best interest to take this case all the way to trial, or is there some creative solution that doesn't violate the terms of justice? Or sometimes, is it worth stepping back a little bit on some of our positions? Not without the client's consent, of course, but is it worth stepping back on some of those positions in order to preserve that family unit? Is there something we can give up that's not real important that maybe the other side would see as important?
Right.
So shopping for an attorney in that regard, you know, you do have to... You have to ask around. You know, most of my clients come from other clients. And if you're looking for somebody who is just going to bury your spouse no matter what, then ask people for that kind of attorney. If you're looking for someone who's going to fight to make sure that your rights are protected but is going to keep in mind the aspects of the children and the family as a whole, then ask around for that kind of attorney. But, you know, referrals from other clients, referrals from other attorneys, because, you know, attorneys know what to expect from other attorneys. You know, if you have a real estate attorney you've dealt with, ask your real estate attorney who they can recommend, but make sure your expectations are clear. I'm not looking for someone to bury my spouse. I'm looking for someone who's going to look out for the whole picture and make sure I'm protected. And they will give you a different person based upon that request, because we all know who the different players are and what they stand for.
Can you tell us where we can find out more information about you and your firm? And all of these great resources that you have?
Oh, absolutely. My website is www.blgfl.com. B as in boy, L as in law, G as in group, FL like Florida.com. And I can be reached by phone 877-LAW-8101.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. And we'll have a link to that And thank you for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio. We'll see you again this time next week.